Welcome to Planning for Retirement with Scott Nelson. Plan well, retire happy.
Well, welcome everyone back to another episode of Planning for Retirement. My name is Scott Nelson. I'm a financial advisor. I've got here my entire staff. To my immediate right is my lovely wife of 42 years, Julie Nelson. She's also our office manager, and those of you who work with our office have heard from her a lot. And our new favorite addition to the staff is my youngest daughter, Elise Zaris, and she just lacks one license of having all the licenses that I have and is the heir apparent. Our topic for today is budgeting. Now, I have to share a story. So early in my career, we had a client meeting, and one of the things that distinguishes us from a lot of other advisors is we do want to know your budget. A lot of people don't like the word budget, and so in this particular meeting, this person didn't like budgets. She felt them restrictive, and she said, the B word. Oh, I hate the B word.
She didn't just say it. She yelled it. So I was wondering what they were discussing in here while I was outside and needed to know what B word you were talking about. So
here's the thing, though. In a retirement plan, and really in your financial plan in general, one of the biggest, most powerful tools you have is your budget. Call it your spending plan. Call it your lifestyle allowance if you're retired. Call it what you will, but you need a plan. That, we have found, is not often utilized, and it results in a lot of problems. So we would like to give you a few pointers. So Elise, where do you want to have us start today?
I think we should start with those who are maybe just starting out. Where do you even begin when you are wanting to make a budget? Where do you start? I think the first step would be to determine your income. That includes everything. If you are receiving bonuses, if you're single, if you're receiving child support or alimony, if you have property, those rental income, all of that.
Well, and maybe even more important than that, why? Why should we bother? It's a pain. You're always having to adjust it. What would you say to somebody who asks that?
I would say if you don't know what's coming in and you don't know where any of your money's going, and at the end of the month you're saying, gosh, I don't have enough for this or this. And if you don't track everything, you're never going to know. And, you know, you have an oopsie one month and you're in trouble.
So that would be step two, to determine, like, list all of your expenses. So know what's coming in and know what's going out.
And know that you are the master of your fate. You have the power to control this. And if you don't, it's going to control you. I would much prefer being in control.
So you said, why should you do this? I'm going to read a statistic here. So it's a Federal Reserve report in 2021 indicated that 37% of adults in the United States said they would not be able to cover a $400 emergency expense without borrowing money or selling assets. I think right there would be a reason why we need to start budgeting if you have not started already. And so a good starting point would be, like I said, determine your income and then track or list expenses.
Now that's going to seem kind of awkward. You know, when you get to that checkout, when they ask if you want a receipt or not, if you track your income for at least a month, keep your receipts, and each night, you know, even then, write down what it's for so that you can keep track of where all of your money's going. It's amazing to watch as you do that, and you don't realize how much you're spending in places where you really don't need to be spending. So it's kind of an interesting process to do.
Yeah.
I like to say if you don't track it, it evaporates.
It really does.
It just goes away, and you've got nothing to show for it. So track your spending. You can create a budget, but the trick is then using it. And a lot of people ask, well, what does it mean to use it? Well, it means just that, to track your expenses and compare what you actually spent with what your plan was. That lets you see where things are out of line. So create and use a budget / spending plan.
Yes. Another thing, why should you budget? You need to be able to set some financial goals that will help with your why. So if you are wanting to purchase a home, if you want to purchase a vehicle, if you want to not live paycheck to paycheck, budget, save. It becomes easier.
I think that also brings up, in doing this, you start to see, or hopefully you start to see the differences between needs and wants. Yeah, you probably need a car, right? But do you need that $70,000 nice four-wheel drive? So you start realizing that you can get by with things that don't cost as much until you get to that point where, you know, maybe at some point in time you go in and you pay cash for whatever car you want. But it's a process and it takes time. So yeah, make sure you know the difference between a need and a want.
So starting on a budget, I'm going to pass this to Scott. But what do all financial advisors agree on when starting a budget?
Well, the common consensus, and we've got examples of a half a dozen books here, and I could grab more, but these are just some I happen to have on the shelf. All these financial experts will tell you that you need to start having some emergency fund. Dave Ramsey calls it a starter emergency fund, a baby emergency fund of $1,000. Why? Well, there's an old saying that goes, if you want to get out of the hole you're in, first you have to stop digging. So if you can have a reserve so that if you have the next emergency, you're not using the plastic, instead you were able to have a reserve to pay for things with cash, not necessarily with cash, but you know what I'm saying, you have the money actually in your possession, then you can start whittling away at your debt. Consumer debt in America today is off the charts. We've never seen so many trillions of dollars in debt by consumers. And
I do have another statistic.
Oh, please.
So this one is Bankrate survey in 2021 reported that 59% of Americans did not have enough savings to cover an unexpected $1,000 expense. So not only for that $400, which to some people that may seem like nothing, but to others they had to go into debt for it. So then bump that up to $1,000 expense, which could be anything from something in your car breaking down to something in your house. And it happens all the time. To have that $1,000 baby emergency fund, that could really cover quite a bit your day-to-day life.
Truly. I mean, I remember a time when Julie and I went through a tough patch. And a broken shoelace was a financial crisis because we just didn't have anything extra. It was just that tight. So been there, done that, have several t-shirts. What I'm preaching to you, I've done. It's important. So if you can get rid of your consumer debt, credit cards, vehicle expenses, just to have your mortgage left, that can be taken care of in short order. If you're simply paying the minimum payments on those cards, or maybe you're paying an extra $5 a month each card, it will not pay it off as quickly as what some refer to as a debt snowball. So the first step in getting going, whatever you have to do, get an extra $1,000 or even better, 1 month's worth of expenses in reserve as an emergency fund. Then that in place, the next step would be to retire your consumer debt. If you retire your consumer debt using the debt snowball, essentially you'll make a list of all of your various loans. You will rank them in order by interest rate, and then you will pick the smallest payoff amount with the higher interest rate to pick on first. Any extra dollars that you've been able to create by having your budget and spending plan is applied to that debt first until it's done. And then all of those dollars get added on top of the payment for the next one and so on until all of those are paid off. You'll be amazed how fast that can actually happen. We had a chance to visit with a young couple about a week ago. Just been having trouble. They have good jobs, but they're not getting ahead and their card balances are getting bigger and it's just been a problem. Once we got their budget and we saw what could be done and we went through this debt snowball scenario with them, they'll be out of debt, folks, in less than 2 years, not counting their mortgage. At that point, suddenly they're going to have almost $2,000 a month available to start investing for their future. Once you start putting that kind of amount away, the impact on your future is so dramatic. And the reason we're so passionate about it is we're working in the retirement space where everyone's biggest fear is what? Running out of money. Why? Because it happens. If you want to share that Social Security statistic, this should be a wake-up call, I think, to anybody who's listening.
Yes. So according to the Social Security Administration, about 62% of retired workers aged 65 or older receive at least half of their income from Social Security benefits. For about 34% of retirees, Social Security provides 90% or more of their income. And that amount is around $1,555 as of 2021.
So for those retirees in that circumstance, inflation eats them alive because Social Security indexes up for inflation using the Consumer Price Index. The Consumer Price Index does not include food or fuel. If you look at those two inputs, because, you know, what do retirees always do? They eat and they need to heat their homes and they need to go places. That hurts. So now they're really experiencing much greater effective inflation at their household level. But the Social Security cost of living increase is not keeping up. It's too little and too late. The inflation's already happened before they apply less than that amount as an increase, and it hurts. We hate seeing that happen. We want to do all we can to help you not experience that outcome. So take advantage of some of the resources. We've got, like I say, a few examples of some books here that are great reading, great information. If you apply the principles that they have in there, which we're just repeating, we're not claiming to have any unique information, it will help you.
I think Julie mentioned this. The biggest thing with budgeting, one word, what is it? What do you have to have?
Persistence, yeah. And patience.
Patience, yeah, that's part of it too, but that's probably not what you're looking for.
Discipline, yes. Is what I was, yes. What we had discussed previously, yeah. But it does.
It's true.
It takes a lot of discipline.
It's true.
It's hard when you see your neighbors and they pull up in a brand new car. It's hard. You want to keep up with, you know.
You don't know, but what they don't have $1,000 a month, yeah. Payment on that, yeah. Though.
It's true.
Right?
It is true. So,
and so what? Do you want to be like that and perhaps risk being in the 34%, yeah. Living only on Social Security in retirement?
I do not.
Or do you want to be in a better place in retirement where you can be comfortable and you can spoil your grandkids or do the things you want to, check off those bucket list items that you've always wanted to do because you've got enough resources to do it?
Lack of discipline is just one challenge. A couple others would be you have a variable income, which makes it hard to have that consistent budget each month, but you can adjust to it. You can go each month and kind of see where you can be flexible in spending and where you can't. But that's kind of why after you have your consumer debt paid off, you can start to build that emergency fund. And it's 3 to 6 months of what you should have in, mm-hmm. that. And that's what all financial advisors across the board would agree on, having, yes. That 6 month.
Yeah. If you're a two income household with really stable jobs and, you know, like salaries, you know what the check is every week. You can get by with three, but if you're a single income household or if you're somebody who works on commission or hourly where your hours or pay fluctuates a lot, you probably want to steer closer to the 6 month range. And it's not that we're predicting that you would be out of work for 6 months. It's just a good number to have in reserve just in case.
You know, Scott and I have facilitated a self-reliance personal finance class for a long time. And it's been really unique and fun to watch these people and couples as they're starting to do these very things, building a budget, you know, doing the saving. And we would share at the beginning of class all the time how things were going, and they'd share their failures and their successes. And one couple finally said, woohoo, we finally saved that first amount of money. And they were so excited about it. Well, a week later, they came back, kind of long faces, but they said, what was it that went out?
It's gone. Their transmission.
The transmission went out on their car. And I said, and? They said, you know what? We had saved enough money that we were able to just pay for it. Didn't have to go into debt. Didn't have to pull anywhere else. But then she shared with me how hard it was to part with that money. And I have to tell you, as you start saving, when you get out of debt and you start putting that money away, it becomes addictive. It's a good addiction, though, let me tell you. But you start seeing those numbers go up, and it just gives you peace of mind. And there's nothing like being able to help someone else when they're in need. You know, you've been there before. You've been at the grocery store or somewhere, and you see them digging. There's not quite enough. And what a good feeling it is to be able to just tell the cashier, I've got it.
But yeah, give yourself some grace. It doesn't happen in a month. You can't just say, well, this is what I'm going to do. But I will also say, from facilitating those groups, tracking your expenses, when you're accountable to your spouse, most of the men in the groups suddenly didn't spend as much at the convenience store when they stopped to gas up on their way to work, because they didn't want to admit that they had just bought the fill in the blank. Energy drink, donut, whatever. So then those dollars were able to stay in the household and work for something more lasting. And you know, maybe it was a little healthier too. I think I lost weight. So give yourself some grace, but track it. Just be consistent. Pick a day, usually the day you get your paycheck, and review the bills, the ones that have to go out. You know, look at the previous month. How did we do? Do we need to adjust? Were groceries just a little bit lean? Or maybe we want to eat at home more? We have met with folks who spent literally thousands of dollars per month at drive-through windows. And, you know, okay, I get it. Supersize me. But is that in your best interest? Is that really what you want? Or was it just a default? It was an easy reaction. But if you have a goal, and you know what your retirement or whatever the goal is, the new car, the vacation in Cabo, the whatever it is, it's a choice. If we're saving, really it's deferred spending, isn't it? We're not spending on this right now so that we can spend it later on something we want more.
Yeah, having that discipline, it goes a long way. And then, like he mentioned, you can start saving for a retirement, which is really needed right now, to put those funds to work for you for later.
Yeah, no, there have actually been studies done. It's going to sound like I'm tooting my own horn, but I don't mean to. We're emotional about our money. We are. More marriages have fights over money than anything else. And what I find interesting, as the dispassionate third-party observer in some of these discussions, is that the husband and wife are saying the same things. They're just saying them in different ways, and their partner's not interpreting it correctly. And so by reading some common material together about finances and having an advisor, people do better, because we're able to get common goals, common language, talk about it in a calm, business-like fashion as opposed to an emotional one. So don't point fingers. Don't cast blame. It doesn't help. Water's already out under the bridge. Let's look at where we are today. Where do we want to get to? Get some professional help and get a plan. If you have a plan, you're going to get there. Just like a pilot's not going to leave the airport without filing a flight plan, it's going to take into account the weather and the terrain and fuel capacity and etc. Have a financial plan too. And then, like a pilot, they're not going to always stay right on that line of their trajectory. They're going to just try to cross it as often as they can so that they can get to their journey. The same is true with your finances. Things are going to come up. The transmission's going to go out. The kitchen faucet's going to go out. Things happen.
That happened to me this week. My faucet.
That's where that came from. Anyway, but give yourself some credit and some space. It doesn't have to be perfect. We just need to cross that line as often as we can. Make the course corrections when you need.
And having those tools in place, we do have those. So we have different tools that we could use for budgeting. If that helps, come see us, call us.
And that's really why we're here. We're here to help. We've been through the fire. We've come out the other side. We think we can help you avoid some of the potholes along the way and get you there faster.
Yes. Thanks for listening. And
Julie, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for the knowledge, experience.
All right. We wish you all the best on your road to retirement. We'll help you plan for it if you'd like.
Bye.
If you found this information useful, please share it. If there is something you hear that raises a question, you can sign up for our free consultation, as well as sign up for our free newsletter. visit askscottnelson.com to sign up. Thanks for listening. Remember, if you plan well, you can retire happy.
The information provided is for educational purposes only and is not intended as investment advice for anyone. All information discussed is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. The views presented today are those of SLN Financial Incorporated and do not necessarily represent the views of AlphaStar Capital Management, LLC. The opinions expressed are subject to change without notice and do not constitute financial, legal, or tax advice. Please consult your financial professional before executing any financial strategy. Investment advisory and financial planning services are offered through AlphaStar Capital Management, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. AlphaStar and SLN Financial Incorporated are independent entities.